And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
On today's Fantasy Baseball in 15, we'll take a look at some big performances from some sparsely rostered players.
Like death and taxes, Dodger's been a Dodger.
I have not had three cold brews yet.
It works great in a fantasy league.
I'm just glad I am not at the dentist.
Fantasy Baseball in 15 on The Athletic.
Welcome to Fantasy Baseball in 15, presented by Topps. Check out Topps Project 70, celebrating 70 years of Topps baseball cards. Michael Bellner and Al Melchior here to send you into the weekend, the last weekend of August here on Friday, August 27th. We start, as always, with the news and notes. Rhys Hoskins will have abdominal surgery. His season is done. Al, if you've been leaning on Hoskins all year as your starting first baseman, who are you looking to as a replacement?
Well, there are a few players, if you're in a 12-teamer, where I think you've got a shot at getting somebody who can make an impact. CJ Krohn, we noted probably about a week ago on the show that he's really started to hit well on the road as well as at Coors Field, so he might be one of your best potential options. You mentioned Nate Lowe on the show, I believe it was on Thursday, and he might be one of the better options out there. Andrew Vaughn, Miguel Sano, I think if you're looking a little deeper than 12 teams, then I'm looking at Patrick Wisdom, Frank Schwindel, or maybe even the man who is likely to receive a lot of playing time with Hoskins out, and that's Brad Miller. So a number of options there. Brandon Belt, too, although we're going to talk about him a little bit later on. He's currently on the bereavement list for the Giants.
Couple different directions you could go depending on the size of your league. Zach Eflin was scratched from that start on a Thursday against Arizona. This was just after he was activated from the IL. Matt Moore started in his place. Gio Urshela activated on Thursday, started at third base against the A's. Good news there. Yasmani Grandal could return for the White Sox this weekend. He's been out with a knee injury. Brett Anderson left his start with hip tightness. Freddy Peralta, however, will throw a bullpen session on Friday. Assuming that goes well, he'll throw one more session, then possibly rejoin the rotation in Milwaukee sometime next week. Willy Adames did not play against Cincinnati, still dealing with that quad issue. Ketel Marte pulled from the Diamondbacks game with hip discomfort. Lewis Brinson also had to leave his game early. That was after colliding with Brian De La Cruz. Brandon Belt, as you said, and also Hunter Renfro, Al, going on the bereavement list. So both of those guys are going to miss a couple of days. And Glenn Otto going to make his debut against Houston on Friday. What are you looking for out of that debut?
Well, I tell you, I'm looking really hard to see if Otto can, pitch decently with a really, really tough matchup against the Astros. Because if that goes well, I would think that he probably stands to pick up another start. And as I wrote about in Next Week in Fantasy Baseball, which is now out on The Athletic, it's a little bit of a turnabout for the Rangers, where you can actually stream Rangers pitchers against other teams instead of, the other way around. They've got the Rockies at home, and then they go on the road to play the Angels. Two very good matchups. And if Otto, he would line up to get one of those Rocky starts, that would be pretty nice. So I'm just looking for something decent from Otto. And also, just to mention that Otto, an alumnus of our Prospect Spotlight segment from just a few weeks ago.
I mean, he's got to be so proud to have taken that and ridden it to the majors in the same season. We'll be watching that, and hopefully he can stick in the rotation. Not a bad guy to stream potentially next week. Aroldis Chapman, scoreless inning, got a save against the A's, so maybe all's well there finally for Chapman. TJ Antone, done for the season. No surprise there, but he is undergoing Tommy John surgery, so already a significant curb on Antone's 2022 season as well. Let's get to Thursday's standouts. Carlos Rodon returned from the IL for the White Sox and looked pretty good, maybe a tiny bit rusty, which is no surprise for a guy coming off shoulder fatigue, but he went five innings, gave up two runs on five hits, walked one, struck out three, nine whiffs and 67 pitches. The important thing here for Rodon fantasy managers, for the White Sox, he was healthy. He was able to come back. He threw five innings. So very, very encouraging signs, and did so against a tough Toronto lineup. So all systems go for Carlos Rodon the remainder of the season. Carlos Carrasco throwing it back with a dominant performance against San Francisco. Gave up two runs on three hits in seven innings. Didn't walk anyone. Struck out five. Are you feeling a little bit more comfortable with him after that performance, Al?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And of course, I benched him this week because the previous performances weren't nearly as good. So his next projected start would come against the Marlins. Yeah, I'm feeling good about that one for sure.
Definitely feeling good about that one. And Chris Sale also getting back. It's like an old AL Central sort of episode here with Carlos Carrasco and Chris Sale both having nice games. And for Sale, it was 5 1/3 in which he gave up two runs on two hits, struck out eight, walked two against the Twins. Again, just feeling comfortable seeing him get more good outings under his belt, Al.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, we probably should have been there after the first couple of starts with Sale, but yeah, absolutely no hesitation in any kind of situation, any format. Chris Sale is looking great so far.
Keegan Aiken going seven innings against the Angels, giving up just one run on three hits, struck out six and walked two. Are you doing anything with this, Al, or is he still in streamer land?
Honestly, I don't even have Aiken in streamer land yet. I noted a little while ago, this is a really good matchup right now against the Angels. He took advantage of it. So hats off to Keegan Aiken for doing that. Now at least just puts me on the watch list, I guess, or puts him on the watch list. Because at this point I wasn't even really looking at him with a favorable matchup like this one against the Angels. So at least he's on the radar at this point.
All right, we've got a ton of hitters to get to, and as we said right off the top of the show in the intro, just guys who aren't really on fantasy rosters. So the question for all these guys is going to be the same, Al. Are you doing anything? Are you adding them? Are you playing them more confidently if you already have them on teams? We start with Colin Moran. He went 4-for-5 with a home run against the Cardinals. He's 16 for his last 48, three home runs in those 48 at-bats. I'm going to group a couple of guys together as we go along here. Michael Chavis also went 4-for-5 with a double in that game. So let's look at Moran and Chavis as a group. Are you doing anything with either of these guys?
Well, Moran, for sure. I may have to do a little bit of a reversal on him because I think probably about a week or so ago on the show, we talked about Moran and I had said that the 2020 season looked like a real outlier for him, but he's starting to show a little bit more power again. So maybe I overreacted to the small sample that he's played so far in 2021. Maybe still up for grabs, figuring out what kind of player he is. And with him on a hot streak, might be worthwhile to give him a try, probably not in 12 teamers, but anything deeper, especially with the corner infield not being as deep this year as it's been in past years. Moran might be one of your better options. Maybe even toss him into that conversation about who to replace Rhys Hoskins in, say, 14, 15 team leagues.
Yeah, Bobby Dalbec could be an option to replace Rhys Hoskins as well. Two homers and seven RBI against the Twins on Thursday. He's now up to 16 homers and 15 runs driven in on the season. He's not an everyday player, and that's probably not going to change for him the remainder of the season, but what sort of utility do you think he has in the fantasy world?
Well, I think because of those playing time concerns that utility is, unfortunately, it's limited to deeper leagues. I think, you know, he's probably already called for in AL only, so you're really talking about deeper mixed leagues, and it's just a situation where you have to watch and see if maybe somehow he's able to gain a little bit more playing time because the power potential has been there all season long. And I was surprised. Seven RBIs in this game against the Twins. That brings him up to 59 the season. That's a pretty healthy pace for somebody who hasn't been a regular player all season long. So even with limited play, if you need some run production, Dalbec is somebody to consider.
Awfully nice when you do play to get to play with a lineup like Boston's around you. Bobby Dalbec proving that once again this season. Ramon Urias going 3-for-4 against the Angels, his 12th double of the season. 11 for his last 26 with two home runs. Where does he play in the fantasy world?
I think probably the same as we've talked about with Moran and some of these other players, 14, 15 team leagues. I had him in a really deep 12 teamer for a while, dropped him about a week ago. So time to, I think he's still out there, time to go get him back because slumped a little bit, but seems to be back in the form he was during the midseason, which was pretty nice for a while.
Couple of Rangers teammates had nice games against Cleveland on Thursday. Nick Solak went 2-for-4 with his 10th home run of the season. He's 6-for-18 since his recall. Andy Ibañez went 2-for-5 with a double. He is now on a 10-game hitting streak that includes 6 straight multi-hit games for Ibañez. Solak and Ibañez, where do these guys play for you?
For me, it's deeper leagues, and I am seeing a bit of hype around Solak since he came up, so it may be hard to get him in deeper leagues already at this point, but Abania is probably more likely to be out there, and just as interested in him right now, if nothing else. He's really in a groove, and don't know how long he stays in it, but might be worth at least trying to pick him up for next week.
And finally, in our standouts, Brian De La Cruz. He did more than just collide with Lewis Brinson and force him out of the game. He went 3-for-4 with his first steal of the season. He's hitting .353 early on here. Are you looking at him for any sort of league where maybe you need some speed?
Yeah, NL only for sure. I think he's still out there in some NL onlys. I mean, really not a lot of fantasy attention being thrown De La Cruz's way so far. And batting average really is where I think he could help a lot. And you know, not probably going to hit .353 the rest of the way, sure, but can still help in that category. So, you know, even 15 teamers, if that's a category where I have a need, De La Cruz is somebody I will bid on this weekend.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other topics, and managing it as one big juicy investment. That's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
All right, Al, let's get into our streamers for Friday. We've got a decent list to kick off the weekend. Kyle Freeland in LA taking on the Dodgers. Jay Happ at the Pirates. Taylor Widener gets the Phillies in Philadelphia. Jake Odorizzi going up against the Rangers in that great matchup. Eric Lauer in Minnesota taking on the Twins. And Chris Bubich in Seattle taking on the Mariners. Lots of good matchups here. A handful of guys who are actually good on their own merits, too. Who are you looking at to stream on Friday?
Yeah, I think I'm sticking more with the players who have just been good, period, and showing a good skills profile. And I'm going to start off with Kyle Freeland. And I think there just must really be a stigma attached to him, not only as a Rockies pitcher, but coming off of a couple seasons where he really struggled. But he's looking like he did in 2018, only maybe even a little better than that. In fact, I noted recently on Twitter and in Next Week in Fantasy Baseball on The Athletic that Freeland has been one of the best pitchers over the past, this calendar month, past August, in terms of strikeout rate and strikeout minus walk rate. So, I mean, he's just been one of the better pitchers over the last several weeks, and I'm streaming him against the Dodgers. I'm doing it. And he had a recent start against the Dodgers that went really well. So I'm trusting Freeland just about everywhere right now. And same goes for Eric Lauer. So he's got the Twins, not quite as tough of a matchup, but not as easy as some of the other ones on here. But I will stick with Lauer for this one. I think Odorizzi is certainly a decent enough option because of the matchup at Texas. Mm-hmm. Chris Bubich still not in the circle of trust quite yet, even at Seattle. And J-Hap and Taylor Widener, probably passing on them. Widener more for the matchup. Happ just because still not trusting him, even though he's got the Pirates.
Haven't looked at any odds yet today, but I would imagine that Jake Odorizzi and then maybe Eric Lauer probably have the best betting odds in Vegas. Their teams do. The Astros probably the biggest favorite on the board among these streamers against the Rangers, and then I would guess the Brewers at Minnesota, maybe the next best favorite. So that's something to consider as well as you were thinking about this if you're looking for a win. Let's wrap things up here, Al, with a fab preview for over the weekend. Aristides Aquino, Frank Schwindel, Ian Happ, Edward Cabrera, Eliezer Hernandez, and Bailey Ober, all guys that are on your radar as we go into the weekend. We've got about a minute, 90 seconds here, so make a case for one or two guys in that available time.
All right, well, I will definitely start with Aquino. I think he's just the player to target coming up this week. Reds, rather, have the Cardinals for 3 games. They've got the Tigers for another 3 games. They're all at home. There are 4 left-handers projected to start against them. Aquino's done very well at home, very well against left-handers over his career. No Adam Wainwright, no Tarek Skubal. It's a great, great schedule and a great, great situation for Aristides Aquino, and he's playing every day right now with Jesse Winker out. So no argument there. And if I can maybe shoehorn one more player in, I'd say make a case for Bailey Ober, just because he's been pretty solid lately. And I've gotten burned sitting him most recently against the Red Sox. So I think that start proved to me that I need to get over my hesitation. I'm sorry that I did that. But he's got the Tigers in Detroit. That finishes up at the Rays, which is a tough start. But I'm good with it for the two-step this week.
I mean, if terrible Bailey Ober puns aren't the way that you go out the door on a week of Fantasy Baseball in 15, I don't know what is. That's going to wrap things up for this episode and this week on Fantasy Baseball in 15. Thanks for being with us today. Thanks for being with us all week. And hey, we're at the end of August here, so you know we're starting to wrap up the season. So I'll just say it once, we'll say it more. Thanks for being with us all season long here on Fantasy Baseball in 15. This show, of course, returns on Monday. Have a great weekend. Enjoy all the baseball action. Do well in your fab. Do well in your matchups. Do well in your streaming. Do well in it all. And we'll talk to you on Monday.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.